love that video. Hope you didn't hear me humming in the mic as I had it on. I'm a hummer, a whistler. I can do everything but sing, praise God. Father, we give you the glory for today, Lord. What an awesome privilege it is to come before your people, your church, Lord, to share about hope, Father. This is what we need in this world, and we only can understand hope by having a relationship with your Son, Jesus, Lord. So, Holy Spirit, we pray that you just break down in here, Lord. Break out. Do what you need to do to share the truth today that I get the blessing of sharing from your word, Father. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father. And we get to do it together as a church family, Lord. We get to come together and worship you in spirit and truth. We get to come together to be like-minded, to understand and know you, Father. To come closer to you, Lord. And then to be prepared to go out and give a reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect, Lord. And I love you in Jesus' name, amen. When we seek Christ, we find hope. There's no doubt about it. That's what this series is all about. When we seek Christ, we find hope. In Matthew 8, 1 through 13, which is what I want to dig in today, Jesus encounters two people who, despite they're in really different circumstances, they come to him for hope in hopeless situations. These two individuals that I'm going to talk about today were willing to come to Jesus for help, even though they knew was against it. Everything they knew was against it. And I guess I'm supposed to ask you today, have you ever been in a situation that seemed to be hopeless? Maybe in a situation that you tried everything possible. I read a story about Abraham Lincoln before he became president of the United States, and I never knew this. Abraham Lincoln failed to achieve every political office for which he campaigned. Every time, he lost. Even when he was appointed postmaster of his home district, he had the worst efficiency record up to that time. And yet, he did not give up on hope. Think about Abraham Lincoln's life. Have you ever come to a point in your life where you have stopped hoping? Have you ever come to a time in your life where you feel like you've lost all hope? So what can we learn today from these two men that I want to share about who approached Jesus for hope? The first one is, I wanted to call bold hope, if you want to fill that in, bold hope. We start with Matthew 8, 1 through 4, subtitle, Jesus Cleanses the Leper. When he came down from the mountain, the great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. And you think back at this time when this was written, lepers were considered cursed by God. Just how close to the bottom does one have to get before reaching it? Leprosy in Jesus' day was completely incurable apart from a miracle from God. And since it was considered to be a curse from God, why should anyone hope for healing? Talk about hopelessness. And yet this leper, when I get out of the scriptures, clung to hope and boldly approached Jesus in a public place. He acknowledged Jesus' position and the power when he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And picture the joy on his face when Jesus, the Son of God, replied, I will be clean. In these biblical times, lepers were considered outcasts from society. This nameless leper, because they don't say his name, faced only a bleak and lonely future with his condition. Because leprosy was so contagious, lepers were shut out of society, away from family and friends. In fact, if they saw anyone approaching too closely, they were required to shout, unclean, unclean, to warn the unwary of their putrid presence. And imagine never being able to hold your spouse or your children again, or never enjoying the warm company of close friends. But yet this leopard chose to hope against all social and physical barriers, and he approached Jesus for healing. And this bold hope was rewarded not only by immediately healing of his terrible disease, but Jesus also responded with a compassionate touch. How long had it been since this leopard had experienced the tender touch of another human being? Then I thought about that song, because I always bring up secular songs, but today I want to bring up, "He Touched Me." Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened. And now I know He touched me and made me whole. And I had a dream that Lois Blankenship was just going to come up and sing the whole song. Praise God. So this leopard had a bold hope. But I want to talk to you today also about a humble hope. Because in Matthew 8, verses 5 through 9, it talks about the faith of the second person I wanted to talk about, the centurion. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." So I believe from the scriptures I put in your listening, God, I feel like this centurion, he recognized the authority. The centurion, he was a Roman soldier charged with command of at least 100 men. Most likely he was a battled, hardened veteran of Rome's many wars and attempted insurrections. And a centurion in a highly disciplined Roman army was accustomed to giving orders, and more importantly, having his orders obeyed. But however, he could not order a deathly disease from his servant. So since he was a man who knew the exercise of authority, he could easily recognize, I thought, the authority that Jesus had to heal. He knew that Jesus possessed power and authority to speak and command healing. Anybody here today understand that and know that? And realize that from God's word, that we know that Jesus possesses power and authority to speak and command healing. This centurion, I really feel like reading this passage, he really displayed humility. The occupying Roman army was not a beloved part of the Jewish life. The Romans were despised by their Jewish subjects. No Jewish rabbi would incline to offer assistance to a Roman, especially a hardened Roman soldier who may well have had Hebrew blood on his hands. And in spite of the position of his authority, I felt like this centurion, he approached Jesus with humility and respect. He knew he had no basis on which to appeal to the Jewish rabbi, but in hope, and I put this in your listening, God, I believe, but in hope, the centurion appealed to Jesus to simply exercise his authority by speaking from where he was. Certainly, he did not expect Jesus to journey to his home and enter under his roof, which brings me to the third point, faith-filled hope. Matthew 8, the rest of the verses 10 through 13, he said, when Jesus heard this, he marveled. This is Jesus. He marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and recline at my table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment, it says in the ESV version. So I think about great faith and I think about faith exercised. How do we know that this centurion exercised hope filled with faith? We know this because he did something no Jew ever did. The centurion amazed Jesus with his faith. In fact, Jesus, you see from those verses, declared that he had not found anyone with this kind of faith in all the land of Israel among God's chosen people. And Jesus then gives us an insight into this hope-filled kingdom living. And you're listening, God, up what Jesus states, that many who expect to be in the kingdom of God will not make it, while others with hope and faith, like this centurion, will have their place there with God. For those who know him, what a statement of hope that should be for us today. And this next point, I want to say that his faith was rewarded. Because the heart of hope that drove the centurion to exercise faith in this Jewish rabbi named Jesus was rewarded. Jesus responded to his faith by speaking with authority and healing the centurion's servant from a distance. We pray for that for Tate today. We pray for that for Edie's son today. We've been praying for weeks. It's so great to have Todd back here going through what he did with his surgery and stuff. Todd and Stacy, it's great to have you here today. You're part of our family. We love you. We care about you. It was beautiful seeing his community group, you know, just surround him and just so happy to see him and stuff. That's showing hope. That's showing that we love each other and we care about each other. So Jesus responded to his faith by speaking with authority and healing the centurion servant from a distance. In another gospel account of this story, we're told that when the centurion returns home, they found the servant well. Talk about finding hope. Then I thought about the Saturday morning men coming here and going through Romans, and I thought about those verses in Romans 8, 24 through 28, and I'm sure you guys studied them. For in this hope, we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it in patience. Likewise, the Spirit, capital S, helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words sometimes. And he searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. And why does he do that? According to God's will. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That gives us hope. That's a promise from God's word as believers. Because if we love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to this purpose. I found this little story I'm going to share to you about a little boy. And maybe it was Tate, I don't know. He was in a supermarket with his mother. And he asked his mother for some chocolate chip cookies. Mommy, get me some chocolate chip cookies. And mommy said, no, we're in a hurry. I don't have extra money. No chocolate chip cookies today. And as they continued shopping, the little boy said, but Mama, I want some chocolate chip cookies. I kind of do that with Lido's Pizza with Kathy, but no chocolate chip cookies today. Mama, please, why won't you get me the chocolate chip cookies? She said, boy, you're getting on my nerves. I told you, we're not getting chocolate chip cookies today. And she continued to shop through the grocery store. Mama, he said, I'm begging you for some chocolate cookies. Her response now was, praise God, you are about to get into trouble, son. I told you, you're not getting chocolate chip cookies today. If you ask me again, I'm going to have to punish you. So she gets in the checkout line, and while they're waiting, the little boy who was seated in the cart stood up in the cart. And he clasped his hands right there in the grocery store, looked up to heaven and said, Jesus, Mama won't give me any chocolate chip cookies, but you told me to pray to you about anything. I'm asking you to make a way for me to get some chocolate chip cookies because my mama's not giving me any chocolate chip cookies. So people in the line started saying, why didn't she give that boy some chocolate chip cookies? So the little boy just kept on praying out loud. Oh, please, Jesus, give me some chocolate chip cookies. His mother got so embarrassed, she went out of line, got two packs of cookies, put it in the cart. And the little boy yelled out, thank you, Jesus. And I thought about in our lives today, many of us today are in the checkout line. And they're really ready to check out on their faith. And we really need to come to that point when we're hopeless or we don't think something's going to be turned around. We got to look up and we got to call on Jesus. That's what that story's about. We must tell Him that we're depending on Him and relying on Him to come through. Don't check out just yet. Wait to see what God does for you in the checkout line. Then I thought about those verses, and that's why I brought up Tate in the beginning. Is any among you suffering, James wrote? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. If anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, the Word of God says. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. That's why I read those verses today. That's why we have an altar call here every week for those who want to come forward for healing, maybe for confessions of sin, maybe to come up to thank Lord for something. Because we want to pray over you if the band would come forward. Anybody here and heard Carrie Job? She has a new CD out. Unbelievable. I just want to share a few lyrics. Because the CD is called The Garden and it's called Speak to Me. And the last verse, I mean, this girl can write. She said, unlock my ears to hear your voice. I want to know what you think. I want to know what you say. Your words are healing. Your words unlock my heart. I'm on the edge of my seat. Speak to me. Speak to me, she writes. You know what I want. You know what I need to hear. You can handle my disappointment. You can heal me. Your words are healing. Your words are healing. I'm in awe that you would come to me. I'm in awe that I could hear you speak. I hang on to every word you say. Do that when you open this book up. Hang on to every word he says. She writes, I love to hear you say my name. I hang on every word you say. I love to hear you say my name. Speak to me. I love to hear you say my name. And in closing, I thought to myself, the possibility that Jesus could and would act on behalf of these two people that I talked about today instilled both the leper and the centurion with what? Hope. Hope. That's what this series is about. One was a disease outcast, accursed by God. The other was an important and powerful leader, hated by many around him. But both chose to seek Jesus for hope in a hopeless situation. The possibility of hope gave them boldness, humility, and faith to seek the person, capital P of hope. And they found him indeed. And when we dare to look beyond our circumstances to Jesus, we too can find hope in a hopelessness. Come on up, ushers. Father, we lift up this time to you, Father. We got time here today to pray. We got time here today to seek your face. We got time here today to give to you, Father. Father, I just always pray. And every time I want to take an offering, I just want to yell out, thank you. Thank you for those who give sacrificially. Thank you to those who give out of their love for Christ. Thank you for those who give because they know your word and they realize that giving is a part of us worshiping you. When we worship you in spirit and truth, when we give, we're doing that, Father. So thank you, Lord. Help us to understand what the prophet Malachi said to us. Test me in this. Test me, give. Give me a 10% and I won't throw. I will throw out the windows of heaven and bless you. And Father, we can use the rest of this day if people come up here giving testimonies of blessings of what happens when we truly give a sacrificial tithe to you, Father. Offerings above and beyond the tithe because we love you and we seek to make a difference for you. So Father, bless our offering today in Jesus' name, amen. So before they sing and before, you know, we ask you to come forward if you need prayer, how about you today? Would you dare right now this morning to look beyond the circumstances that you're in right now? Because there might be somebody in here who is in a dire need of some hope in their life. And maybe you're feeling hopeless sitting here today in your relationship or an issue at work with some sin you're fighting. And you're saying to Jesus, I need an answer. I know you can give me hope in this situation. You know what I want, Carrie Jo Grunt. You know what I hear. You can handle my disappointment. You can hear me. You can heal me. Your words are healing. Your words are healing. Thank you. Go ahead.